Blog Talk Radio.
I've merged you in. I'm getting ready to count you down. 3, 2, 1. You may start.
Hello, everyone. This is Richard Floyd with Power Up Your Family. It is great to be back with you once again, and I look forward to the opportunity to share with you some thoughts that I have with regarding to a timely topic. We know, we live in an age where there's a lot of divisiveness and a lot of hatred and bigotry and religious intolerance, and I want us to be mindful of how important religious freedom is for the very fabric of our nation and for humanity, for that matter. You know, freedom of religion is a very essential and basic principle of my faith. In my church, the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, we believe that religious liberty is a fundamental human right. Heavenly Father has given us moral agency, which is the ability to choose right from wrong and to act for ourselves. And that is essential to God's plan of salvation, which we talked about in our last broadcast. Religious freedom ensures that people can exercise their agency in matters of faith. In the church, we have what we call the Articles of Faith. And the 11th Article of Faith states, we claim the privilege of worshiping Almighty God according to the dictates of our own conscience and allow all men the same privilege. Let them worship how, where, or what they may. Religious freedom embraces the right not only to freely worship, but also to speak and act based on one's religious beliefs. In a modern-day revelation, the Lord stated that just laws should be maintained for the rights and protection of all flesh, that every man may act according to the moral agency which I have given unto him, that every man may be accountable for his own sins in the day of judgment. Now, that comes from a Latter-day Scripture document that we know as the Doctrine and Covenants. These are revelatory messages that were given by the Lord directly through the prophets of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. Governments cannot exist in peace except such laws are framed and held inviolate, as well as secure to each individual the free exercise of conscience. Thus, governments are bound to enact laws for the protection of all citizens and the free exercise of their religious belief. Religious freedom safeguards the right of all people to hold their own religious beliefs and express them openly without fear of persecution or being denied equal rights of citizenship. It ensures that people can freely choose or change their religion, teach their faith to their children, receive and disseminate religious information, gather with others to worship and participate in the ceremonies and practices of their faith. It protects individuals from religious discrimination in employment, housing, and other basic services, and prevents people from being denied the right to have a business, occupation, or profession, or professional license based on their religion. Freedom of religion protects not only individuals, but also the religious organizations that make faith communities possible. It encompasses the right to form churches and other religious institutions, such as religious schools and charities. It affords such institutions the freedom to establish their doctrines and modes of worship, to organize their own ecclesiastical affairs, to determine requirements for membership, ecclesiastical office, and employment, and to own property and construct places of worship. In the Doctrine and Covenants, we read, quote, we do not believe that human law has a right to interfere in prescribing rules of worship or to dictate forms of for public or private devotion. Many of these principles are embodied in the First Amendment to the United States Constitution, which states, Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof. International human rights documents likewise recognizing the universality of freedom of religion and belief. Article 18 of the United Nations Universal Declaration of Human Rights states, quote, everyone has the right to freedom of thought, conscience, and religion. This right includes freedom to change his religion or belief and freedom either alone or in community with others and in public or private, to manifest his religion or belief in teaching, practice, worship, and observance, close quote. Religious freedom is not absolute. Limits on religious activities are appropriate where necessary to protect compelling interests such as the life, property, health, or safety of others. But such limitations should be truly necessary rather than an excuse for abridging religious freedom. Where the law constrains religious freedom, members of our faith, Latter-day Saints, believe in obeying the law while seeking protection for their fundamental rights through such lawful means as may be available in each jurisdiction or country. We believe in defending the religious freedom of others just as readily as our own. The prophet Joseph Smith declared, quote, I am just as ready to die in defending the rights of a Presbyterian, a Baptist, or a good man of any other denomination, for the same principle which trample upon the rights of the Latter-day Saints would also trample upon the rights of the Roman Catholics, or of any other denomination who may be unpopular and too weak to defend themselves, close quote. Early in the history of the Latter-day Saints, was codified this sentiment in a Nauvoo city ordinance guaranteeing tolerance for all faiths. Quote, be it ordained by the city council of the city of Nauvoo that the Catholics, Presbyterians, Methodists, Baptists, Latter-day Saints, Quakers, Episcopalians, Universalists, Unitarians, Mohammedans, Muslims, and all other religious sects and denominations, whatsoever, shall have free toleration and equal privileges in this city. And that was an ordinance that was passed in March of 1841 in Nauvoo, Illinois. Each and every Sunday, the Church of Jesus Christ has the longest broadcast program that exists called Music and the Spoken Word. This past Sunday, Lloyd Newell, the spokesperson for the broadcast, shared the following message. He said, the oldest church building in Mexico, commonly known as La Iglesia de la Conchita, was built nearly 500 years ago in 1525 in a neighborhood of Mexico City. This important building is part of Mexico's cultural and artistic heritage. But it's more than a historic landmark. Houses of faith like this one stand as a reminder of our basic human desire to connect with God. All over the world and throughout history, people have always wanted to worship, and quite often we want to do it together with other worshipers. So we build churches, synagogues, mosques, and temples. We seek places and opportunities to gather, to create communities of believers, to share with each other our faith and convictions. That's why religious freedom is so vital as a fundamental human right. Religious faith is deeply personal, and yet it is also interpersonal. guiding how we interact with others and creating bonds of love. Religious freedom, then, is more than just letting people believe whatever they want. It includes respecting their right to both, quote, hold their own religious beliefs and express them openly, close quote, as long as those beliefs and expressions are similarly respected of others. This right is expressed well in, as I mentioned earlier, in one of the Articles of Faith of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, which I'll quote once again. Quote, we claim the privilege of worshiping Almighty God according to the dictates of our own conscience and allow all people the same privilege. Let them worship how, where, or what they may. Close quote. Go to most places in the world and you will find worshipers like you do here in Mexico. The diversity of religious faiths and practices is part of what gives richness to our world. In matters of faith, there is much we can learn from each other. But at the heart of it all is a common desire to commune with the divine. That spiritual connection with God has emotional and physical benefits too. Research has repeatedly shown that people of faith report feeling better and healthier than those benefits, and those benefits increase the more activity they live their religion. In other words, when we open our hearts to diverse religious beliefs, when we respect the rights of all to worship how, where, and what they may, we are fostering the health and happiness of families and communities everywhere. In reference to Lloyd Newell's message, some of the references there in terms of how people feel in terms of their emotional and physical benefits because of a spiritual connection with God. In Science Says Religion is Good for Your Health, found in an article from Forbes magazine in 2019, it says, in part, theologists, scientists, and thought leaders have attempted for centuries to understand the impact that religion can have on human beings, both mentally and physically, and it is commonly accepted around the world that religion and spirituality are among the most important of cultural factors giving structure and meaning to behaviors, value systems, and experiences. Thus, there is ample reason to believe that faith in a higher power is associated with health and in a positive way. For example, researchers at the Mayo Clinic concluded, quote, most studies have shown that religious involvement and spirituality are associated with better health outcomes, including greater longevity, coping skills, and health-related quality of life, even during terminal illness, and less anxiety, depression, and suicide. Several studies have shown that addressing the spiritual needs of the patient may enhance recovery from illness. In another referenced article, Religious Faith Can Lead to Positive Mental Benefits, from a Stanford anthropologist, published in the Stanford News in November of 2020, it reads in part, in an exploration to better understand the role that spirituality and religion play in health and care, a few key themes appeared across the various disciplines. Some of the most interesting include, for example, 80% of research on spirituality, religiousness, and health focuses on mental health. This is because most associations with faith are related to how one thinks about the world and their role in it. Words that are often associated with religious benefits include connectiveness, hope, optimism, trust, and purpose, all of which have been shown to boost mental health. Compassion, forgiveness, and gratefulness are also qualities that are strongly associated with individuals who are spiritual and religious. Practicing these qualities is thought to be associated with decreased stress, increased resilience. Interestingly, although religion and spirituality correlate to an external focus of control, God is a higher power in control of our destiny, most research concludes that those who are religious have a strong internal sense of control. Dr. Harold Koning of Duke University contends that as people pray and ask God for guidance, they feel a sense of control over their own situation, helping them cope with depression and anxiety. While mental and physical health are intricately intertwined, the physical manifestations of spirituality and religious beliefs are indirect. What this means is that our belief system drives the way we think and behave, which in turn impact our health-related actions. For example, people with greater depression and anxiety have more physical health problems. In turn, worse mental health and physical health lead to a lower quality of life and a shorter life expectancy. Caring for one's physical body is emphasized in many faiths, including in the Judeo-Christianity. This leads many individuals to actually take better care of their bodies by abstaining from drinking, prioritizing meditation, or not partaking in activities that have negative consequences on the body. As a Latter-day Saint, we have, again, a revelation provided to us in the Doctrine and Covenants, known as the Word of Wisdom. I won't take the time to go through the full context of that, but in the Word of Wisdom is a great promise for spiritual and physical health by obtaining a food and lifestyle code that includes such things as not partaking of the use of alcohol, not smoking, not using beverages that may contain substances that are harmful to the body, and the use of foods and grains and eating meat sparingly. So the Word of Wisdom does provide Latter-day Saints a great blessing in terms of physical and spiritual preparedness. We have been told that the Spirit will not dwell in an unclean tabernacle. And so as Latter-day Saints, we attempt to keep our bodies a tabernacle that is clean and pure and receptive to the Spirit. As we prepare to conclude, I want to share some portions of a message that was delivered by one of the apostles of the Lord Jesus Christ, President Dallin H. Oaks, who serves as the first counselor in the first presidency of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. He addressed the Notre Dame Religious Liberty Summit in Rome, Italy, in July of 2022, where he talked about four ways to strengthen religious freedom. And he kind of issued a statement that said, I call for a global effort to defend and advance the religious freedom of all the children of God in every nation of the world. So here's perhaps some action that we can take in this quest to help preserve and extend and maintain religious freedom. He said, with regard to this topic, religious liberty faces serious challenges around the world. These include secularism, authoritarianism, political correctness, and deteriorating attitudes toward religion. Religious liberty demands unity among denominations. He said, when leaders join forces to confront religious liberty challenges, they do not need to examine doctrinal differences or identify their many common elements of belief. He said during the opening of this conference, he said, quote, all that is necessary for unity is our shared conviction that God has commanded us to love one another and has granted us freedom in matters of faith, close quote. President Oaks said that religious freedom is in the DNA of our faith. he quoted our founding prophet, Joseph Smith, in his famous 1843 declaration that he was, quote, ready to die defending the rights of a Presbyterian, a Baptist, or a good man of any other denomination. For the same principle which would trample upon the rights of the Latter-day Saints would trample upon the rights of the Roman Catholic or any other denomination, close quote. With the love and mutual respect taught by divine commandments, President Oakes said, quote, we need to find ways to learn from one another and to reinforce the common commitments that hold us together and promote stable, pluralistic societies. We should walk shoulder to shoulder along the path of religious freedom for all, while still exercising that freedom to pursue our distinctive beliefs. So here are the four suggestions to help make this happen that President Oakes shared with this group. Number one, recognize that we need each other and are all subject to law. In responses to government, we should remember Jesus' charge to, quote, render or give unto Caesar the things which are Caesar's. He said, even religious rights cannot be absolute. In a nation where, with citizens of many different religious beliefs and disbeliefs, the government must sometimes limit the rights of some to act upon their beliefs when doing so is necessary to protect the health, safety, and welfare of others. When we don't see eye to eye with others, we should seek to understand their concerns and experiences. He said, none of this requires any compromise of our core religious principles, but rather a careful examination of what is really essential to our free exercise of religion, in contrast to what other believers consider really essential to their beliefs. He went on to say, in terms of these four principles, number two, urge religious tolerance. Often the most serious violations of religious freedom come from religious persecution. Sometimes this is one religion persecuting another. But experience such as the influence of the Catholic Church's important 1965 Religious Freedom Declaration, Dignitas Humanae, shows that leaders and institutions can help avert religious persecution. Quote, we hope and pray that the religious duties of religious leaders will incline them to oppose the use of state or religion-supported coercion on the sacred subjects of religious choice and activity. President Oakes said, further, we who live under laws that promote religious freedom need to use our persuasive powers to encourage religious liberty for those not so favored. Religious tolerance. Often the most serious violations of religious freedom come from religious persecution. Sometimes this is one religion persecuting another. But experience, such as the influence of the Catholic Church's important 1965 Religious Freedom Declaration, Dignitatis Humanae, shows that leaders and institutions can help avert religious persecution. He said, quote, we hope and pray that the religious duties of religious leaders will incline them to oppose the use of state or religion-supported coercion on the sacred subjects of religious choice and activity. He went on to say, further, we who live under laws that promote religious freedom need to use our persuasive powers to encourage religious liberty for those so favored. Third, he suggested, let the world know of the good that religion does. People are more likely to support religious freedom if they know how religion benefits society. As Jesus taught, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. President Oakes said, as more of our service genuinely benefits society and is clearly motivated by our religious beliefs, this will be recognized by the general public. He mentioned that and some of the good had been done by the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints in the year prior to this conference in 2022. That included volunteer service hours by members of the church, somewhere in the vicinity of 6.1 million hours of service rendered, and the giving of 80 million pounds of food to the hungry. In 2023, some update, the church provided engaged in humanitarian projects, over 4,119 humanitarian projects, and had expenditures of $1.36 billion in the outreach made by the church. And this was done in 191 countries that were served. So such personal efforts are an important public manifestation of the religious motivation that drives humanitarian assistance, a free will offering born out of love for God and neighbor. Lastly, number four, he suggested unite and find common ground to defend and promote religious liberty. This is not a call for doctrinal compromises, he said, but rather a plea for unity and cooperation on strategy and advocacy toward our common goal of religious liberty for all. Another one of the apostles of the Lord Jesus Christ, of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, Ulysses Soares of the Quorum of the 12 Apostles, has said, quote, religious freedom is as much a duty toward others as it is a right for oneself. We gain freedom by supporting the freedom of those we deem to be our adversaries. When we see that our interests are tied to the interest of everyone else, then the real work of religious freedom begins. So as we have talked some very specific terms here with regard to religious freedom, it would be my hope and prayer that each of us might be mindful of respecting the religious beliefs of others. And that we should treat them, you know, like the golden rule, do unto others as you would have them to do unto you. Treat them with respect, respect their beliefs. And again, as has been mentioned, we're not necessarily embracing their doctrinal beliefs, but we're respecting them as a person and their God-given right to believe according to the dictates of their own conscience. Heavenly Father has given each of us, his sons and daughters, moral agency, the freedom to choose. He could have made a plan of salvation that would have made us all think and do alike. That was Satan's plan, which we talked about in our previous program this last week. Moral agency is critical to Heavenly Father's plan. And thankfully, his son, Jesus Christ, has made that commitment to provide the salvation necessary for all mankind through his atoning sacrifice. Testify that Jesus is the Christ, the only begotten of our Father in heaven. He is our Savior, our Redeemer, and our Lord. I would encourage anyone that wants to have a closer relationship to the Savior and with Heavenly Father that you go to the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints website. Just a simple link, comeuntochrist.org. All one word, comeuntochrist.org. We love the opportunity to teach, preach, and testify of the Savior. We love him, we love you, and we say all of this and share it with you in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.